This morning, I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth.
Usually when Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3 are read, you're thinking that we're going to be talking to the kids. But there is a section in these passages that I want us to emphasize that I believe will help all of us as children of someone, but especially of the Ancient of Days. When we consider growing old or the beauty of getting older, I don't want to necessarily focus on being old, but focus on getting older. And the promise that is associated with honoring father and mother. It's interesting that when we consider these great verses and we consider the world that we live in today, it is a great honor to honor father and mother. I find it interesting in the passage, especially in verse number 2, going into verse number 3, he said, which is the first commandment with promise. And notice the promise that's associated with that. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. We consider some individuals that despise getting older. Different emotions come to mind as people are getting older. I remember on one occasion when I was about to turn 30, I'm saying, oh man, this is getting real. And when I was about to turn 40, I was more excited than I was when I turned 30. And the reason why is because there was a few individuals that I came across in the Lord's church said that life really gets good at the age of 40. And I found it very interesting that I was looking forward to the age of 40, and sure enough, it's the truth, at least from my vantage point. But some people, when we consider the difficulty of getting older, the body is breaking down. Sometimes the mind begins to fail. The trouble of being assisted when one is used to having their independence. Those things begin to flood the mind. And sometimes when one has to be assisted in life, they resist. They begin to be resentful. They begin to reject the help. And the more I thought about this as I was considering a theme for this particular month, under what we've been talking about all year, awaking out of sleep, arising to righteousness. We know that the only way that one can avoid getting old is to die young. And none of us should want that. And the reason why, especially as Christians, we should not desire that is because we should have a desire for the righteous influence of God to permeate the world in which we live in as long as possible. We're trying to do our level best. Kind of reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, though our outward man perish. The outward man is doing exactly that. It's dying as we speak. And it doesn't matter whether one is 10 years old or 90 years old, we are on our way to death. However, when we consider the great promise of our lives being long on the earth when honoring father and mother. There's a great blessing in honoring father and mother or the older. Solomon would speak of the plight of getting older in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He talks about how the eyes grow dim, how the ears begin to fail, how one is afraid of heights, so forth and so on. We consider some of the things that Solomon himself was dealing with and he figured out over a period of time. Well, when we consider what Job said, man born of a woman is a few days. And so we put some of these passages together as it relates to getting older. We know that the body is going to the dirt. However, we know that the spirit is going back to God, Ecclesiastes 12. We consider those great words, friends, and that's the blessing and the beauty of getting older because we know that there is an end to this. Yet, there is something within us that never ends, and that's the soul of man. That's our spirit. That is what makes us who we are, if you will. And so I want us to be considering some words of encouragement on today because when we consider the beauty of getting older, I want us to take notice of the book of Job. In Job chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It's interesting when we consider Job chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we see some great principles that we can apply. In Job chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, there the Bible says this, wisdom is with the aged and with length of days, one version says long life, understanding. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. We consider these great principles that are in these particular texts. Friends, it ought to give us great encouragement. And it ought to give us a desire to want to grow older. But, as usual, the world that we live in, and this is no new problem, men and women have always wanted to be young and to do that which keeps their body young. However, going back to the principle of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, though our outward man perish, now we can add the latter part of the verse. The inward man is being renewed day by day. In essence, it is being made alive. It is being made to grow young, if you will. Why? Or how, rather? Through the renewing, through the word and the will and the study and understanding of the word of God. And so when we consider Job 12, verse 12 and 13, we see wisdom is with the aged. But wisdom is only with the aged if the aged have exercised themselves in righteousness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 31, here Solomon would say something that is worthy of our interest. In Proverbs 16 and verse number 31, notice, the hoary head or the silver head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. I used to hear when I was a kid, boy, you see this gray hair, that's wisdom. But I learned through the study of God's word that even an old man can be a fool. And so we understand that when one exercises themselves in righteousness, then that's where the wisdom comes from. And I'm not talking about the wisdom of this world, James 3, verses 14 through 16, but the wisdom that comes forth from above, James chapter 3, verses 15 and 8 through 18. And that's the wisdom that we should desire. And so I want us to be encouraged as it relates to those of us who are younger ought to be looking forward to getting older. And those who are older, you have a responsibility to help those of us who are younger. And no wonder we see the wisdom of God as it relates to the New Testament church and how you have the younger, the middle age, and the elderly or the ancient, the older to help those who are underneath them. Why? Because they have been there and done that. At least that should be the case. And so point number one, what is the beauty of getting older? Well, as in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, honor and reverence is the beauty of getting older. Well, when we consider honor and reverence toward the father and the mother, or the mother and the father, this is something that must be instilled in the child while they're in the cradle, if you will. There was an old saying that a child needs to be taught from the cradle to the grave. That saying is still true today. And even though I'm 48, 47 years old, I still must honor my mother and my father. I still must listen to them. I still should honor what they have to say. There is great value in honor and glory and reverence, if you will. Five quick things I want us to consider as it relates to how fascinating it is to be growing older. Number one, heaven is nearer. Heaven is nearer. There are so many, even Christians, that are trying to do all that they can to stay here. But friends, I go on record to say that if I was to drop dead today, that would be good. Why? Because blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Number two, foolishness is not bound in the heart, or should be bound in the heart of an older person. Why? Because Solomon would say that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of a correction drives it far from him. And so as we're growing older, we ought to be wiser. As we're growing aged, we ought to have wisdom. Why? Because we want to gain our wisdom from God that we may give it to the next generation. Number three, the past is behind us. When I stop and I consider my 20s, there'd be some people, I would pay anything to be back into my 20s. I wouldn't. I made some of the most dumbest mistakes in my 20s. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but I'm just saying it was what I did, and some of us did. Made some stupid mistakes in our 20s. There's nothing in my 20s that I want to go back to except obeying the gospel and marrying my wife. Other than that, you can keep the rest of it. But there's some, they just want to live in the past. But as it relates to getting older, we have something beautiful before us. And we ought to be teaching that to the next generation. Number four, life makes more sense as you get older. And number five, some decisions are already made for you. I was talking to my older brother the other day on the phone, and he was out there with his grandkids, and his grandkids was doing all these flips, and so he figured he'd go out there and try to do something with them. He said, I realized very quickly I shouldn't have been doing that. I said, man, there's some things that ought to be known to you already. There's some things I know. When I'm playing basketball with the young kids, I say, time out. Don't post me up. Why is that? Because the only thing that could happen, man, you get into the small of my back, and the next thing you know, I'm on my back. There's some decisions that are already made for us as we get older, as we grow in wisdom. And so these are some things that we need to be considering. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Let me show you something that the young people did not do. They did not reverence the older generation. In Isaiah chapter 3, and God was upset with this. And we need to be reminded from time to time, especially with our older individuals, whether in the church or out of the church, there is a reverence for the elderly that the young people ought to have for the older, because they're just older. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 5, notice, this is God speaking. He says, the people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. Notice this, the child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. Friends, here God was getting on Judah because of the younger, and how the younger was being disrespectful to the older. Let us be careful as younger, as we are striving to be what we need to be in Christ, that we always respect the older, the elderly, if you will. But the older could be those who are in their 40s, and the child could be in their teens. All of us have a responsibility. And the responsibility is to be respectful. The older should be respected and honored just because they're older. In Leviticus chapter 19, notice that passage, going all the way back to the Pentateuch, if you will. Here, as the children of Israel comes out of Egyptian bondage, they're going into the promised land. God gives them laws that they need to be mindful of. In verse number 32 of chapter 19, notice, he says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." We ought to be teaching our young people, teach our children. You give honor, you give reverence to the older. Well, the older doesn't necessarily mean that they have gray hair, but they're older than you. But in the context, we understand that the gray-headed must be reverenced. I know when I was a kid, I'm not saying this is what you have to do, but when I was a kid, we didn't call older people by their first name. That just didn't happen. As a matter of fact, we was taken out back. Did you ever do that again? And so they would even tell the individual when they say, "No, he can call me so-and-so." No, I teach my child to say Mr. or Aunt or Sir or something to that nature. This is something that has to be taught. It's interesting that the Bible gives us a great detailed analysis on how we ought to treat the older. Point number two, the older should be maturing. Remember, as we use 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16, as the inward man, it reminds me of the great man Caleb. Turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 14, starting at verse number 6, notice what the Bible here says. Joshua is right before the book of Judges. It is the conquest of Canaan. Here we have this great man, Caleb. He had received at one time a command to go out and spy out the land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be in this land that he would bring back evidence that the people of God would be able to say, okay, we can go and take the land. In verse number 6 of Joshua chapter 14, we come across Caleb. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" Now notice this. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." Now, it's amazing that I found that at the age of 40, there were some great men that done some great things at the age of 40. I don't know what it is about that age. Maybe it's an age where people have their heads on straight. Maybe it's an age where people say, okay, I'm fully committed to this cause. I'm committed to something greater than myself, if you will. I don't know. But at 40, he received this command and he went out and did it. Verse 8. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Notice, he gave his all to God. He did all what God wanted him to do, verse 9. "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your feet has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive.'" Now notice this, friends, to the elderly, to the older, I want to encourage you to look at Joshua, the son of Jephunneh, and notice, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old, 45 years later. And Brian Braswell, he's still faithful to God. He's still devoted to God. His heart only follows God, which teaches us and tells us, as the Apostle Paul would say, "I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And notice what he goes on to say. 85 years old, "As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. I look at this as a physical strength right here. But when I consider him wholly following the Lord, I see that as the spiritual strength. And so here, Evelyn, he is physically and spiritually strong. He has kept himself together. He's followed the Lord, not just with his body, but with his mind. Not just with his mind, but with his soul. Not just with his soul, but with his spirit. Here, he is fully committed to God, and we need the older to be mature and to continue to mature and continue to grow into the person of Jesus Christ. I have that responsibility. Nate has that responsibility. All of us have that responsibility to grow into the person of Christ and to wholly follow the Lord, leaving nothing out. And notice what he goes on to say, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me my inheritance, he says, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified, meaning they were fenced up. And the Anakim were big people, giant people. They were a massive people. Yet Caleb, he trusted God, which also teaches us that it didn't matter what was in front of Caleb. Caleb was wholly following God, and he knew that he can conquer. He can do all things through his God. He says, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. I want to encourage all of us that not only should we be strong spiritually, but as physical beings as much as possibly, much as possible. Let me say this. There are some physically who have to walk on a cane. Their bodies are breaking down. Let us, as younger people, let us be careful not to knock any of them down. Let's be careful. Let's make sure our children don't run into them. That the last thing we want is for one of our elderly members to get knocked down in an untimely way. Let's be careful. Let's demonstrate some respect. And the more I thought about that, the more I realize that when I get older and if I'm on a cane, I don't want nobody running underneath me. So, young people, let's be careful. Let's be mindful. But the older, be mindful that they're little too. And they got a lot of energy, and you've been there too. And so we're all working together with this. And so we all need one another. But sometimes the physical begins to break down, but that inward man needs to be just driving strong and growing in grace and growing in mercy. And so I just want to kind of put that out there just for you to consider. Be thinking about that. And so when we consider the older, those of us who are maturing, I think about what the psalmist said in Psalm 90 in verse number 12. And I believe this applies to Caleb. In Psalm 90 in verse number 12, notice what the Bible here says. I believe that this applies to Caleb. I believe he did this. In the context of a man or a woman growing frail, growing older, he says, teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. I believe one version says that we may apply our hearts toward wisdom. In order for us to apply our hearts toward wisdom, we have to understand that our days are numbered. that we're here just for a short period of time kind of reminds me of a passage earlier in the text as it relates to our lifetime and our lifespan here. When we understand that our days are going to be numbered, they're few, if you will, we ought to make sure that we're taking advantage of every opportunity we can. Sometimes we waste time when we really don't have time to waste. I want us to consider, number one, under this particular point, why it's important for older us to exercise ourselves in righteousness. Number one, we want to constantly renew ourselves in knowledge. Colossians 3 and verse number 10. We want to consistently go toward God for cleansing. Psalm 51 and verse number 10. I found that passage to be very interesting in this context that we're talking about this morning. David made a horrible mistake with Bathsheba. Yet he falls before God after he was corrected by Nathan the prophet. And he does something very powerful. I have sinned. It's hard for men and women to say I have sinned. Those are some of the hardest words to say. Yet I understand as the older, we ought to be an example to the younger to demonstrate to them that it's all right to say I have sinned. It's okay to say that. And so the psalmist understood that. And he wanted a renewed spirit. And so we need to constantly renew ourselves in knowledge. We need to consistently go to God for cleansing like David did. And we need to continually be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Ephesians 4 and verse number 23. Which means that we're always looking to Christ. We're looking to him. Why? Because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Number three, why? Why should we consider the beauty of getting older? Go to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, I believe that Paul sets the record straight for the older. And what a beautiful text that we're about to look at in Titus chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. A beautiful text. I want to bring out a couple of little key points in this text. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 2 and 3, that the aged, that the older men be sober, reverent, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love and patience. Now notice the older man and what he ought to be an example in awareness, in respect, in self-control, in spiritual health, in love, in patience. This is how he ought to be an example. But then notice the younger or the older women, I'm sorry, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. But notice what the older women ought to be doing to the younger women. Now, in order for this to really work, the younger women have to put themselves in a position to even listen to the older. And that's difficult. Sometimes you can be too busy to listen. Sometimes you can have a hard heart that you don't want to listen. But it's always to your best interest to listen. Whether you agree with it or not, it's still in your best interest to at least listen. But then notice that they teach. One version uses admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Let's stop there real quick. You look at those two words, love, you would think it would be agape, but they're not. As a matter of fact, the word has the idea of a philanthropist. If anything, they're supposed to be a friend to their husband, a friend to their children, to be friendly to their husband, to be friendly to their children. That's interesting that they're a source of strength. Here the older women are teaching the younger women to be a source of strength to their husbands, to their children. That's the word there, a source of strength. Question. Are we who are older teaching the younger to be a source of strength for their families? They ought to be. These are great lessons that God is teaching us. See, if we're not careful, we'll look at that word and we'll say agape, but that's not agape. It's a source of strength. Man leaves the house, he ought to know when he comes home, strength is waiting for me. Sometimes that's not the case. And that's when the older teach the younger. Come here, baby girl. Let me show you some things. Whether you've been married 15 years or 50, you ought to be able to teach someone who's been married a year, three, four, five, hey, this is what you ought to be. That man needs strength. He needs encouragement. Those children need strength. There's a lot placed upon the woman. That's why it's a lot to do at home. There's a lot to do at home. And then the husband is making sure that he loves his wife. That's agape. We consider this the older. That's why it's beautiful to get older. Because you've made those mistakes. Or maybe someone taught you. And you didn't make those mistakes. But we have to learn from our mistakes. And we have to teach. And the word teach there, admonish, is very beautiful too. It's the idea of correcting. It's the idea of disciplining. The older women, disciplining, correcting the younger, it has to happen at times. It is okay. Proverbs 9 verse 8, it's okay to be corrected. But sometimes when we're corrected, we grow offensive, which is, if anything, we ought to grow tender, that we are being corrected. And those whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And so he gives us this great body of people who are trying to honor God and be reverent to the one who is the Ancient of Days, Daniel 7. And so the younger need the older and the older need the younger. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, here Paul tells Timothy how he ought to engage with the older. As a preacher, I have to be careful with the older. And so Paul, he says, do not rebuke, do not reprimand, do not correct sharply an older man. Now, one version says an elder. He's not talking about an elder in the church, friends. He's talking about an older man. That's the context. Okay? And so we have to be careful. I have to be careful. Young people have to be careful how they talk to older people. Why? This is God's system. It doesn't matter how much you may disagree. God is saying, keep yourself under check. Reminds me of Aaron when God killed his sons for disobeying. And Aaron, he sat there and he held his peace. He held his peace. We know that Aaron was, he didn't like what his sons did, and he probably didn't like what happened to his sons, but he held his peace. And sometimes it's okay to just hold your peace. Sometimes that's okay. And so the blessing of getting older, that there is a sense of respect that comes. And when I was on Facebook, I would see major disrespect from the younger to the older sometimes, and sometimes from the older to the younger, and that should not be as well. And so in the church, we are a demonstration, an example to the world that we are exercising respect. Whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. And so notice what he says. But exhort him, implore him, beg him, entreat him, treat him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. How? With all purity. And so God gives us the attitude that we ought to have. He gives us the disposition that we ought to have in our minds. And so the more that we consider this, the more that we ought to be telling ourselves, I better watch my words. So, I say that to say this. How can the older help the younger here at 9th and Main? Well, three quick points. Number one, just as Job would rise up, however you want to say it, early and approach God for his children and pray for them and offer a sacrifice for them, we need the older to do that for us. Keep us in mind. Pray for us. Let us know that you're praying for us and thinking about you. Vice versa is still true too. Number two, remind us of the ancient landmarks and the importance of not removing them. Proverbs 22 and 28. Ancient landmarks like wholesome marriages, balancing child rearing and home life, integrity. Remind us to be honest and good. Remind us to be gracious and merciful. Help us and remind us of biblical truths such as the oneness of the church and the beauty of holiness and the sin of denominationalism and the holiness of God and the deity of Christ and the seriousness of New Testament worship and the need to be Christ-like in everything that we do. We need those reminders. But the younger must see it in the older. And so there is no blank check, if you will. Just because you're older, folk are just going to look up to you. No, they want to see the example. And just as we see Christ as an example, we follow his steps. And just as we see those who are walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we follow their steps. And just as Paul would say, follow me even as I follow Christ, suggest that if I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. So we see that even in the Apostle Paul. The older need to remind us of those things. It's all right to remind young people of what God wants for them. It's okay. As a matter of fact, it's necessary. And the tribal elders of the Jewish nation would remind and teach the younger how they ought to approach God and behave before God and to honor God and reverence God. To keep demonstrating, number three, God's love and his will, even when those of us who are young may not respond correctly. Go to Ezra chapter 3 as we close. In Ezra chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, you're probably thinking, closing out in Ezra? Well, it's a powerful passage, or passages rather. Ezra chapter 3, right before the book of Nehemiah. Right after 2 Chronicles, Ezra chapter 3, starting at verse number 8. Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with his son and the sons of Judah arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God, the son of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation, listen to this, of the temple of the Lord, the priest stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites, heads of the fathers' houses, the aged men, the old men who had seen the first temple, they wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Did you see the different responses? Here you have the older, the aged, the elderly. They remember the foundation of the temple in its first glory, and they cried. But here we see, because of the foundation being laid, you have those who respond in a very happy way. I don't know if they were crying because they of sadness, or maybe they was crying because they saw something in this one that they didn't see in another one. But I do know this, that they wept and they cried because of the foundation being laid. And now we're moving forward. And so, it's a blessing to get older, and I look forward to it. If you're older, to God be the glory. Because that's actually a promise that God gave. And it's a blessing to get older. And I know people see it differently, but I think we ought to take God's word. God says it's a blessing to get older. It's not a blessing to die young, especially in Christ. Why? Because we want to be here as long as we can, that we can promote the influence of righteousness wherever we go. To God be the glory. May God bless you to live a long life upon this earth. But it comes with honor. It comes with reverence. It comes with you doing what God will have you to do. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider, we don't want you to grow old outside of Christ. We want you to grow old inside of Christ. And so you can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." The way that you get in Christ is by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will wash away everything that you've done through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. But maybe you're a child of God, and sometimes we get into our emotions and we don't want to be here. I can understand that. But if you're here and your inward man is still growing, that outward man can do whatever it wants to do, because it's about the inward man. And though our outward man is dying, the inward man is being renewed day by day. It's growing. So stay in this book. Apply yourself to righteousness. And watch people come to you because you're following Christ. As we stand, as we sing this invitation.